This is Rob Gellis interviewing Dodie Gearing, the Town of Canaan historian. And you're going to talk today about probably just some of the history of Canaan.
Correct.
So
yes.
I'll let you describe it.
All right. Well, first of all, the Town of Canaan borders Massachusetts and has the towns of New Lebanon and the town of Austerlitz. Lebanon is north of us, and the town of Austerlitz is south of us. So we're right on the Massachusetts border. But the early settlements go back long before there were boundary lines between New York and Massachusetts and Connecticut. The first settlers, one of the first settlers was in 1750, which was a Jesse Ford who settled in Red Rock. Now, we've got several little hamlets inside of the town of Canaan, and Jesse Ford and his family settled over in Red Rock, which is inside, a hamlet inside the town of Canaan. And they arrived around 1750. Now, what's interesting is there was no agreement for the lines yet, but there were a number of families, actually 43 men, who back in 1758 made a contract with the Stockbridge Indians, the Mohegan Indians, and for 250 pounds, they purchased 6 square miles of land so that they could settle on the land in what they thought at that point was in Massachusetts. So they made an agreement with the Stockbridge Indians and got 6 square miles of attractive land and began to settle there. And when they wanted to claim the land, they first petitioned with Massachusetts. And Massachusetts said, no, you're not in Massachusetts, you're in New York. So then those 43 men had to then petition Albany, because they were part of Albany County and King's District. So those settlers were living there in the town of Canaan and didn't realize that they thought they were in Massachusetts and they were actually in New York State. So they eventually petitioned for the land. But what's interesting, during this time, the revolution was taking place and there were border skirmishes. Some people stayed loyal to Britain and they were the Tories, and some became rebels. In other words, they wanted to be independent from Great Britain. And there was a petition. There was a King's District petition. There were a number of men who got together wanted to be independent from Great Britain, and it's called the King's District Resolution, and it was signed by men at a tavern, at William Warner's Tavern in Canaan Center. And back on June 24th, 1776, they said they wanted to be independent from the country. So these men were already very much wanted to be a part of the town of Canaan, which it wasn't at that point. It was still a part of Albany County and the state of New York. Now, Canaan wasn't officially... those men, by the way, went on to form the 17th Militia and were very active in the Revolutionary War. They were led by Colonel William Whiting, who then came back to settle with the Warners and the Whitings and the other members of the town, and became the first settlers. They fought in the Revolution, fought in the battles of Saratoga in September of 1777, and then came back and settled in the town and made the town of Canaan. So the first rebels started on that June 24th, 1776. Now, finally, the New York State Legislature makes what we call the King's District in 1786, and Canaan is a part of that. And then finally, on March 7th, 1788, it was changed from King's District to Canaan. So Canaan, it wasn't officially formed until March 7th, 1788. So that was the first year that we were a town. Now, what's interesting is back then, Queechy Lake, which was then known as Whiting's Pond, because Colonel William Whiting had a grist mill right at the outlet of Queechy Lake, which is now called Queechy Lake. It was then Whiting's Pond, and he had a grist mill, and there were several other mills along the pond. In other words, there was other people who had built grist mills, satin mills, and other mills along what was then the Queechy Lake Creek, and then the Stony Kill. So there were very, very quite a few people who made mills along the streams that were that are still there today. So we've got people like Uriah Curtis settles Flatbrook, and Uriah Edwards, he's the first man to settle up in Flatbrook. So that's another little hamlet, and that today is right on Route 22 up on State Route 22, and still is a part of Canaan. So Flatbrook is considered a little community inside of Canaan. We had Jesse Ford, who settled in 1750 in Red Rock. Then Daniel Lovejoy and Ebenezer Cady, those two families come and settle in New Concord. And New Concord back in 1795 was still a part of Canaan, but then Chatham is going to take New Concord. The town of Chatham is going to be created, and New Concord is going to become a part of the town of Chatham. We're going to have Gideon Frisbee, the Frisbee family. Six families are going to settle in East Chatham, and that's why we've got Frisbee Street. And the six families settle right along the Berkshire Spur of the Thruway, down by the B3 toll exit is where the Frisbee family settled. And then we also, had a family settling at Bristol family are going to settle in New Lebanon. So different families came and settled in each area, and then the families had farms there and had mills along the creek, and it was major at that point, basically a farming community. Everybody were farmers. By the way, the first census was taken in 1790, and what's interesting, in 1790, the Canaan census had 6,692 inhabitants, including 15 slaves. And today, when we had our census 10 years ago, we only have 1,500 people. So that the 1790 census shows so many people living in the town of Canaan. The town of Canaan had 6,692 inhabitants in the first census. Finally, these people who settled here and thought it was a part of Massachusetts finally petition the New York State Legislature, and they finally get their lands in 1790. So these people settled here for quite a few years without having title to their land. They didn't know if they were going to get to keep the land that they had settled on and farmed and started to raise their families, and they fought in the Revolution and been active in their communities, and they didn't know if they were going to get their land. So finally they proceed to get their land. Now another interesting happen is we have a turnpike that goes through East Chatham. The Albany Stock Bridge Turnpike was a part of Frisbee Street. So one of the main traffic routes of products from West Stockbridge to Hudson was the Albany to Stockbridge Turnpike, and it ran along Frisbee Street and all the way out Albany Turnpike and all the way to the Hudson. So, and then there was also the Hudson to Canaan Turnpike. So it was east and west and north and south traffic. So this area was heavily traveled by lots of different mills and factories and people that produce things in the Canaan area. Now, the next thing that's major is that in 1795, the town of Chatham takes part of King's District and parts of New Concord, and they split. In 1718, They take part of King District and they make the towns of New Lebanon and the towns of Austerlitz. So we were much larger back then, and our population, when we take our population in 1820, because they had taken the land from us and created the towns of New Lebanon and created the town of Austerlitz, our population drops in the 1820 census. So it's very interesting that we were very, very large, and then we've been divided down into smaller towns. Then another thing, key thing that happens is the railroads arrive. We have our first in 1838. The Hudson Berkshire Railroad is built. That goes through Canaan, and you start to get lots and lots of railroad. The first railroad went through East Chatham, still goes through East Chatham into Canaan and all the way into West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. So the railroads arrive in 1838, and East Chatham's going to have a railroad station. Canaan's going to have a railroad station. There's going to be a railroad station in at State Line. So there's three railroad stations inside the town. And kids would, the products would from the farmers would go come down into Chatham. And there would be a large market, and there would be a round table where the trains from New York City could come up, and the trains from Albany and everybody could connect and sell their products. So Chatham, the village of Chatham and the railroad station and the hub became from all of the stuff coming from east to west into the village of Chatham. Now the state line, the other thing that happens is they built a tunnel. The state line railroad tunnel is dug from Canaan through to West Stockbridge, and that is completed in 1832, and that makes another east to west connection. So they build the railroad tunnel, and the train still to this day, there used to be two sets of tracks, there's now only one, but if you want to watch the trains, you can still go on Tunnel Hill Road and see the trains that go from Albany to West Stockbridge through the Canaan Tunnel. The Civil War intervenes, and many, many people from the Columbia County and many, many people from Canaan volunteered to join the Union Army. So we had many, many of our Columbia County people join, became veterans of the Civil War. Now, the next major thing that changes Canaan is in 1885, the Burnhams, Frederick and Catherine Burnham, purchase 580 acres, and they proceed to produce a farm for boys. It's called Berkshire Industrial Farm for Boys, and it's the Berkshire Farm Center for Boys, and it has been there since 1886. And today, so for many, many years, as many as up to 600 boys from New York City, from New York State, were sent there by the court. It was based on a European model where boys who were truant or minor crimes or troubled could be sent to this farm. It was called Berkshire Industrial Farm for Boys. The boys would live with host families, and they would get a full high school education. There's a school, there's workshops, there's cafeterias, there's homes. And so the Berkshire Farm Center has been there since 1886, and it's still being used today. It's now going to be the home for the Berkshire Foster Care. There's a foster care center with foster care families, and it's a federal program. So Berkshire Farm is still active in the town of Canaan. Now, the next big event is Fred Munch. We had no electricity, and most people around here and the farms had wells and their own outside facilities. But Fred Munch is the first to bring electricity to the town. And Fred Munch was known. He bought a generator from Pittsfield, from General Electric over in Pittsfield. He bought a huge generator. They transport it by train to the Canaan train station, and then they took it by wagon and horse and connected Canaan. So we started to get electricity in 1914 thanks to a man called Fred Munch, and he was very active in our community. He was active in the Grange. He was active in the fire company. But Fred Munch who worked for General Electric and brought the first generator and the first electricity to the town of Canaan. Now, during the 30s, Canaan's pop. Now, what's interesting is the railroad station in Canaan used to be a place where people from New York City and all over the state could come. And Queechee Lake has been the center of as a summer resort. There were many. There were casinos. There were hotels. The Rubicon, the Leavenworth Hotel, Queechee Lake has always been a summer area. We even had two sisters, the Werner sisters, Susan and Anne, who lived in the town of Canaan, and they wrote books about Queechee, and they became bestsellers in the 1860s. Susan Warner and Anne Warner wrote the book Queechee, and also the second book was called The Wide, Wide World, and they were stories about living in the town of Canaan and going to what was used to be called Whiting's Pond, now got changed to Queechee Lake. And today, Queechee Lake is still a very lovely lake that is a resort area in the town of Canaan. So in the 1860s, people would come from all over the state on the train, get off, and stay. There were actually five hotels. There was the Rubicon, there was the Hubbard, there was the Leavenworth, there was Barry's Hotel, there was the Tancredi Hotel. So Canaan used to have a major summer resort area back in the since the turn of the century. It's been always the trains came here and people stopped at the Queechee train, the Canaan Railroad Station, and it was a popular resort area. So Canaan has had lots of activity as a summer resort. The next key thing, our population decreases in the 30s. Our lowest population dips down to 979 in the 1930s, but now we're back up to about 1,300 to 1,400 in population with our second homes. Canaan has become, the parkway was built, the Taconic State Parkway is built, which gets off in East Chatham and goes all the way into New York City. And it became a place for people who live in New York City to purchase or stay at a second home. So starting in the 50s, after the Taconic State Parkway was built, people started to come up on weekends and spend their vacations in Canaan. So our population increases when our residents come up from New York City on the Taconic State Parkway, which was built as part of the Franklin Roosevelt's Conservation Corps. They built the Taconic State Parkway, and they used construction workers and gave them jobs after the Depression. So it was it became a major north-south route from New York City to the town of Canaan. Now, another key fact, we had 13 little independent school districts in the town of Canaan, and that ended in 1955. Each of the little town schools, the Canaan Town School, the B.B. Hill School, the Red Rock School, the East Chatham School, they started to become a centralized school district. And Chatham Central School became a central school in 1955. So students then, if they wanted to go to high school, my father-in-law had to get on the train. He had to get on the train at the East Chatham train station, take the train into the village of Chatham and go to school. And then in the afternoon when school was done, he would get back on the train. Same with the Canaan students. They would have to get on the train in the village of Chatham, head east, and get off the train at whichever train station was closer to their home. Sometimes these students had 5 or 6 miles walk or 2 or 3 miles walk from the train station to get to their house or ride their bikes. However, they got back. But the main high school was down in the village in Chatham, and the little branch schools. So they went to like first, second, third, fourth grade, fifth grade in the little branch schools. But then when it got to high school and middle school, they went into the village. The Berkshire Spur went through. They took land in the town of Canaan in 1956. They produce the Berkshire spur of the New York State Thruway. So now we have the New York State Thruway that goes right through and goes right to the B3 toll barrier. And we just, in 2017, they made the new Love's Travel Plaza. So this area is heavily traveled by a lot of traffic. The Thruway goes through East Chatham, goes into the town of Canaan. Canaan celebrated their bicentennial in 1959. We're getting ready for our quincentennial in 2029. So we closed a town hall in 1998. We now have a brand new town hall on Farm to Market Road. All of the stuff used to go County Route 5. And we celebrated our 250th anniversary, 2009. And the newest thing that they built was the Love's Travel Plaza in 2017, where it's become a major hub for everybody traveling east from Massachusetts through New York State. So we've had a lot of great history. I've had fun doing a lot of research about the town of Canaan, and I hope I've given you a little bit of history about what's happened in Canaan since it started back in 1750.
Well, Dottie, I didn't know much about the history. It goes way back. I guess it was founded a little earlier than I thought it might have been.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The first known settler we know, and the Fords, by the way, Jesse Ford's great-great-grandfather, have lived in Canaan up until recently. In other words, the last when Audrey and Ken Ford passed away, they were the, and that wasn't that long ago. The Ford family had been the, and the Park and Jenkins family have been settlers and lived in that area since 1750. So it's fun to know that some of the families are still there. So we've had some interesting people. Elizabeth Cady Stanton's grandfather lived here. Judge Cady Stanton lived in New Concord. And Elizabeth Cady Stanton used to spend her summers with Grandpa in New Concord when she was going to Emma Willard. So this area with its schools had some outstanding people who've lived here. Charles Drown, who has a mausoleum in Canaan, in the Canaan Cemetery, was the president of Rensselaer Polytechnical Institute for more than 30 years. So RPI has a history here in Canaan. We have two people who are, three churches were formed in 1829. It must have been a real religious fervor back in 1829. And in 1829, the Canaan Congregational Church was formed, First Presbyterian Church was formed, and the Christian Church of Red Rock were formed. And I think, I don't know if the congregations were all split on how to worship, but three churches were formed in 1829 and had a vibrant pastors that came and did. Religion was very, very important in the town of Canaan and in this area in the 1840s through 50s and 60s.
Well, Dottie, I want to thank you so much for coming on my program, Rob Around the County, and we hope to, in the future, talk again.
That would be wonderful.
So thank you again.
Thank you, Rob.